I'm now joined with Bernard Mulvaney, People Before Profit candidate for Clontarf local elected area, to discuss his plans to contest the next local election. Bernard, thanks for joining us.
Johnny, delighted to be here. Thanks for having me on.
You're most welcome. First of all, Bernard, tell us how you initially became involved in politics.
We have to go back now to sort of 2018, 2019, when I first started getting involved. I had originally had sort of got involved through the fact that just on my own, I had been attending rallies and demonstrations around the ratification of the UN Convention on the Rights of People with Disabilities. That was something that was ongoing and became very close to my heart. And I had been attending different demonstrations in relation to the ratification of that. Through that, I started meeting different individuals who were involved in politics. Most notably, the one person who was a constant at these demonstrations and supporting the disabled community was Richard Boyd Barrett. So over a period of time, I got to know Richard, and I got to know the party, and I got to know the party politics. And I suppose, if I'm honest, it's the one that I could relate to the most. It seemed to be fighting for people who had no one to fight for them, and seemed to it seemed to tick all the boxes when it came to trying to stabilize or to somehow our society was, I felt, was going in the wrong direction, and they seemed to offer the solutions I felt were what was needed, what are still very much needed. So 2018, I officially joined the party, and then in 2019, the branch here in Dublin Bay North asked me if I'd be interested in being their candidate for the local elections back then. And I said, sure, look, you know, as I said, it was something that I'd become, the inequality I saw had become very apparent to me, and I felt if I was to be an effective voice, that at least I could step up to the plate and put myself to the people to show them that I was offering solutions, and that those solutions I felt were the right solutions. And so that's really how I got involved with the party. It was through a lot of disability activism, and then different things came to the fore.
And speaking of which, you know, you've been doing quite a lot of work in the local community over the last while. Tell us more about this.
Yeah, so after our first outing, we did the local elections. I wasn't known. So, you know, I did okay, but I wouldn't have been well known. And then it was a general election, and we sort of surprised everyone. So since that, now, the last 5 years, we've been very, very busy. Been involved in multiple campaigns, led multiple campaigns. We've an ongoing campaign called Access for All Ireland, which was set up by myself, a young man in a wheelchair, my daughter, who's a wheelchair user, and that was to get the lifts on our Dart line. We started with the Dart line, get our lifts upgraded so that they would work. They were constantly breaking down. So we spent over a year and a half campaigning for that, just ourselves out there leafleting. We handed out over 25,000 leaflet cards on that. We got a great victory on that one. That went into the programme from government. And anyone who follows, you know, public transport will see that while not perfect, the lift situation in our stations has improved massively, in that the government made available funds for the upgrade of all the lifts and to put in place different technology with which to try and make the lifts more efficient, and that they wouldn't keep breaking down. So it's an ongoing thing. That has developed even more, in that through our campaign and our activism, government decided that they needed to acquire better trains that were inclusive, accessible, and we were really taken aback by that. They went and they've sourced these new carriages, which are going to service next year, which are just amazing. We were out with them over a year ago. Then we supported the Debenhams workers, which was a very, very strong workers' action. Predominantly women. I was actually on the picket line the night the Gardaí came in and dragged everyone off. If anyone has seen that wonderful movie around the Debenhams struggle, the opening footage was recorded on my phone. I was one of the last that they took out, because I think they wanted a visual record of what was happening. But again, unfortunately, you know, the result wasn't the way it should have went. The workers, if I'm honest, in the end, they got shafted. But we were there with them from the get-go. That was a fantastic action. And following on from that, more recently, I was very involved with the Iceland workers. I spent every day in the shop with the Iceland workers. Their pay and conditions, which, again, like that, the owner was able to walk away quids in, while the workers who were, who, if I'm honest, some of them hadn't been paid in 6-8 weeks, got royally shafted. And we intervened quite quickly in that and got involved, supported the workers. There was lock-ins, there was all different types of demos and rallies. And I would have been, every day I was in with those those workers became good friends with a lot of the workers that were in the Iceland store. Also, other local campaigns in relation to, we saved our 123 bus that was going to be taken. Fortunately, they saw that the community wasn't having that, and we raised over 3,500 signatures on a petition to have that saved. And like that, involved in ongoing issues around housing and healthcare, we would have been on the picket line with the hospital workers, with the radiographers. You know, so we're constantly there supporting workers. Actually, I have an issue that's come to the fore with a local group in Artane. We had a public meeting just 2 weeks ago, and there was over 70 people turned up for this in relation to taking away bus stops. And that's really a fantastic community coming together, like, to say, you know, this is not good enough. You know, we want to do the right thing, but we have to be involved, and they're not being involved. We did something similar out in Clongriffin. The train station out there was just totally inaccessible to the Myrtle Residents Association, that side of it, and the lifts kept breaking down. We got a huge result on that, where Transport for Ireland has come out and said that they're going to make available all funds to get the whole access situation sorted, and that will be put in place and maintained, monitored and looked after for, at a minimum, the next 5 years while the area is developed. Again, that was a long 4-year battle with others. Mind you, now it wasn't just ourselves, so we were involved with other groups, but we were leading to the fore. I held the only public meeting. We haven't stopped since, you know, the last elections, and like that myself personally in the community, I'd be involved in different groups, local groups, and just involved in things like cleanups, and the community games is a big thing in Merino, and, you know, so we would, you know, fundraising around the local sports, and always there trying to help out, trying to do the right thing, but on a broader scale, fighting very hard for our disabled and caring community. Actually, there was a particular issue, just a green paper that had been proposed by government, which was, if I'm honest, a Tory paper, which was going to tier people with disabilities and carers into payments, and effectively the maximum you would get is effectively what you're on now, but they wanted to push more and more people with disabilities into the workforce without the supports they needed. And we came together with a group of young disabled activists, predominantly women, and we fought that tooth and nail to the point that government had to back down and they scrapped the green paper. So I haven't stopped, to be honest with you, over the last 5 years, because that's where my heart is. That's where my passion for it is getting results for my community and for those that really don't have a voice. And that's what I try to offer people.
Okay. What kind of a response are you getting from locals during your canvassing?
Actually, no, it's interesting, because I know we're in strange times. People, particularly with the housing crisis, people are very angry. But the response on the doors has been quite positive. Not all the time, but the majority, if I'm honest with you, has been very positive. People, you know, they understand that actually a lot of our problems at the moment stem from the fact people can't get a home. They can't find a home. You know, ever since back in 2008, successive governments have failed people on the housing issue. It's not that the solutions haven't been there. It's just for some reason, governments haven't taken them on board. So now we have a situation whereby when we're knocking on doors, we're meeting two and three generations of the one family living in the family home, because nobody can get out to buy a home or rent. It's just crazy. It really is that is the big issue on the doors. That's where a lot of people's angers are, that they're really frustrated and can see no light at the end of the tunnel. Their children are having to immigrate. And so, you know, it was the issue on the door in 2020, and we've had no proper movement on it since. Like, we're 4 years down the line and it's still the biggest issue, if I'm honest. So that and healthcare is a huge problem. People are on long waiting lists and, you know, they're struggling with their health. They can't get the interventions that they need. And that, coupled with the fact that maybe due to ill health, they can't work, the support for people who, due to long-term illness or whatever it may be, disability, their supports are seeing them really, really pushed into poverty. And so, yeah, so while, you know, the narrative comes from the top down that things are going great and they're roaring along. The reality on the door is people are really, really tired of the fact that they see no hope, especially young people. They see no hope of ever owning a home and making a life for themselves in a community. And they're looking for solutions, and we're offering them those solutions. And those solutions are, like, you know, public and affordable housing on public lands, preferably built by the state. And I mean, there's multiple examples of it around the world whereby the state could finance the homes, people get their mortgages, as we did. I mean, you know, I was part of that TG Cahir show episode last year on the history of housing, and particularly around Marino. And I discussed how, you know, we could do it in 1930 there. But for some reason in 2024, people, like, the homeless figures just keep on rising, keep going up. And anything that gets built is snapped up by vultures or funds. And the rents are just... I just don't know how anyone could work a job and hope to someday own their home, paying in, like, in my local area here, $2,200 for a one bed apartment. Like, it's just crazy. So that's where a lot of anger lies at the moment.
Right, so we leave it there for today. Bernard, thanks again for joining us. It was great talking with you. Good luck with your campaign and all the very best. Do take care.
That's great. Thanks very much, Johnny.
You're welcome. Now, that was Bernard Mulvaney, People Before Profit candidate for the Clontarf local elected area, talking about his plans to contest the next local election.